A Call to Awake. Loma Linda, California, August 13, 1912. Typed. To sanitarium workers. I wish to repeat some things that have been presented to our people many times in the past. As a people and individually, we need to receive fresh supplies of grace day by day. We need the endowment of the Holy Spirit, which is able to sanctify the soul. Many of us do not realize the sacredness of our profession of faith. Therefore, there is much talking and little real faith, little convincing evidence that the Holy Spirit is imbuing our hearts, illuminating our minds, and strengthening us to perform the will of Him who day by day is calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Said my guide, "Look ye, behold the lack of piety in the earth." Then powerful representations passed before me, showing me the strange things that are taking place. Commercialism of every order, every kind of human invention, is absorbing the means and engaging the mind and talents of men and women in the carrying out of the enemy's schemes. All too often, piety and sacred things are given little consideration. The churches are being corrupted, and through the gratification of pride and the desire to get gain, the youth are being led into worldliness and sin. Parents and children should be striving together to bring forth fruit in accordance with their knowledge of truth. But instead of this, there is seen on every hand a strife for advantage. Each seeks to excel in some line of display or indulgence. On the school grounds, games are instituted that arouse the spirit of emulation. The youth are absorbed in a strife for the mastery, and to gain their ends will often imperil life itself. Thousands are starving for the bread of life, while even church members are drunken, as it were, with the wine of false representation. What burden do these professed believers carry for perishing souls? Strife for supremacy, great ideas for the development of commercial enterprises absorb the mind, and the spiritual needs of humanity are forgotten. The Lord is preparing to show that there is one who takes account of the wickedness of the world and the pleasure-loving spirit that predominates, and that is an offense to Him. At this time, when satanic agencies seem to be triumphing, the Lord calls upon His people to be wide awake, that they may give the enemy no advantage in his purpose to deceive, if possible, the elect. Those who know the truth are to let their light shine, not only to those in the house, but to those outside. All who are engaged in the work of the Lord for these last days should lift the voice in no uncertain tones in the message, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3, verse 2. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Difficulties will always be found in the way of the Lord's work. But in spite of every opposing element, the believers in Christ are to let the true light shine forth with power. In His Great Commission, Christ opened before His disciples the world as their field of labor. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they were encouraged with the assurance that many would respond to their message. The promise was given them, "Ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1, verse 8. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24, verse 49. It was to be theirs to search for the lost sheep and to declare to all men the gospel of a sin-pardoning Savior. If any should ask them who gave them the authority thus to minister, they were to answer, "He whom the Jews crucified, but who hath risen from the dead, hath appointed us to the ministry of his word, declaring, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20.
The disciples were not to wait for the people to come to them. They were to carry the message to the people. Christ had imbued them with his power. He had laid upon them, his ministers, the sacred work of preaching the gospel of his grace, which, from generation to generation, from age to age, would never lose its power. They were to go to the people with hearts softened by his grace. Their influence they were to regard as a sacred treasure. Christ's work of personal ministry on earth was ended, and they, as his chosen ones, in the spirit of their master, were to communicate to men the will of God. In their own lives, they were to present to men Christ's unselfish life of service. Knowing the requirements of God and the gospel of his grace, they were to consider it their sacred work to communicate this gospel in an ever-enlarging experience. As Christ's ambassadors, they were to improve every opportunity to seek for the lost. Christ's commission to his first disciples is the great missionary charter of the gospel. If his followers would fulfill their mission, they would have the reward of his approval. To them would be spoken the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 21. And this commission his followers today are ever to hold sacred and to work out in their experience. In following Christ's example, and in bringing into their life practice the principles that he laid down for the work of the first disciples, they, like them, are to make his name a praise in the earth. It is the Lord's purpose that his people shall be a sanctified, purified people, who will exalt the truth in all their works. The grace of Christ will sustain all who walk humbly with God. In the night season, I seemed to be urging our brethren and sisters to be sure and thorough in their presentation of the Lord. Errors will come into our ranks that will be presented by some of the church members with much force and apparent truth. Leave not the people in uncertainty, but in kindness and in love for their souls, present the truth as it is in Jesus. I would urge upon our ministers the need of keeping their own souls warm with love for the lessons of the Word. Our teaching should be filled with expressions of the love of Christ. We are to communicate light and knowledge to our people. If we would do a growing work, we must be reconverted daily. All must act their part. Let parents fill their minds with scriptural evidence regarding the truths they profess, and in the spirit of love, teach the truths of the Word in their families. We must take hold by living faith of the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that truth may be impressed on the hearts of those to whom we minister. We need the aid of the Holy Spirit to make us wise in this work. Every soul is precious in the sight of Christ. The words of truth spoken by the converted teacher, whose heart reaches out in a desire to lead souls to Christ, will be a savor of life unto life. Oh, that there might be an awakening on the part of our people, that they might realize the solemnity of the times in which we live. Those who hope to be prepared for the Lord's appearing should be in earnest in doing a work that will recommend the truth to others. A sincere acceptance of the truth for this time will result in the carrying out of its teachings in the daily life.